Now let's come forward to Revelation 14. Now Revelation 14 is a classic example of one of the methods that the Bible uses to describe what's going to take place. First of all, it gives a summary, and then it gives the details. Now we're going to see in Revelation 14 the two harvests. One, the resurrection from the dead for the saints. Number two, the harvest of the wicked with their armies that God is going to destroy when Christ returns from heaven with the saints. So what we have here is we have verses 14 and 15 through 16 talking about the first resurrection of the saints. Then verse 17 begins the summary of what's going to happen to the wicked coming to Jerusalem. So this is quite a thing, and we will see that it, just as we saw on Pentecost, the prophecy of a nation raised at once, likewise we will see the prophecy of the wicked and their destruction in the book of Joel. So let's read it here in Revelation 14. Verse 14, "And I look, and behold, a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man sitting on the cloud, having a golden crown on his head, and in his hand was a sharp sickle." Now we are the first fruits. So this is a sickle to harvest the grain. Now we will see there's a special sickle to also harvest the grapes of wrath, as we could put it that way. And he said, verse 15, "And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, because the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who was sitting on the cloud thrust his sickle into the earth, and the earth was reaped." Now, that takes place right as the seventh trump is blown, and the harvest begins. Okay? Now then, that brings us over to Revelation 15. Now we're going to, we've already covered this during Pentecost. So then those who are raised are taken by the angels up to the sea of glass. And all of those in the first resurrection, as we covered on Pentecost, will be there. And then everything that needs to take place, as we covered on Pentecost, will take place. Be all on this big sea of glass. Okay? When the resurrection has taken place, that finishes the second phase of the return of Christ. There is yet another phase that has to take place. And this is the seven last plagues. Now, that is depicted, so we can look at it this way. Revelation 14, verses 14 through 16, apply to the resurrection, and Revelation 15. Then, from verses 17 through 19, that applies to chapter 16. So let's read it. Verse 17, Revelation 14. Verse 17. "Then another angel, who also had a sharp sickle, came out of the temple that is in heaven, and out from the altar came another angel who had authority over fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sickle and gather the grapes of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast its fruit into the great winepress of the wrath," and we will see the vengeance of God. "And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood spewed out from the winepress as high as the horse's bridle to the distance of 8,600 furlongs. Now, this spewing of the blood shows the death of the wicked, the soldiers, the enemies fighting against Christ. Now let's come to Joel, the third chapter, and let's see where this exact thing was prophesied. Joel, the third chapter. So what we find is this, as I covered earlier, we have the prophecies of the Old Testament, the prophecies of the New Testament, and they all fit together like a hand in a glove. Okay? Joel, the third chapter. We saw it, talked about the army coming, the trumpet plague, trumpet plague 5 and 6, and the trumpet plague is announced, the seventh plague is announced, correction, the seven plagues are announced with the beginning of the resurrection. All right, chapter 3. So let's pick it up here in the book of Joel, chapter 3 and verse 9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. This will be the greatest war that there has ever been. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Gather yourselves and come, all of you nations. Gather yourselves together all around. Cause your mighty ones to come down there, O Lord. Then let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations all around. Put in the sickle. It's like we read in Revelation 14. For the harvest is ripe. Come, come down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And again, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaven and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Now, isn't that interesting? His people being the first resurrection, and Israel being the nations of Israel, who will be brought back to their original inheritance. Now then, let's see what God is going to do. And let's see how this is going to be done. Because Revelation 15 gives us two things. It shows us the temple of God, and then how the seven last plagues come, as well as those who have been resurrected and stand on the sea of glass. All right? Now then, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. Now remember, that takes place between the resurrection on Pentecost, and trumpets when Christ and the saints come back to the earth. Okay? Come down here to verse 6. Actually, verse 5. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels who had the seven last plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in linen pure and bright, and gird about the chest with a golden breastplate. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives into the ages of eternity. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter into the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. This is the vengeance of God. God has said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And he is going to bring the vengeance on the earth. And he is going to carry it out. So let's look at some scriptures which talk about this very thing. Okay? Let's come to Isaiah 34. Isaiah chapter 34. Now the seven last plagues come right after the seventh trump. Exactly when they begin, we don't know, because there's a lot of things going on the sea of glass with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the resurrected saints. Now, we are going to be able to witness the vengeance of God, and we're also going to see that God gives us a share in that vengeance, because remember what Jesus said. He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. So the kingdom is coming to this world, and then we will fight. And we will actually see that we have part in carrying out the vengeance of God. So this is quite a thing. Let's read it here. Verse 1, Isaiah 34. Come near, you nations, to hear, and you people hearken. Let the earth hear in the fullness of the world and its offspring, for the anger of the Lord is upon all nations. It's called his wrath, and his fury upon all their armies, all the armies of the 200 million plus. He has completely destroyed them. He has delivered them to the slaughter. Also their dead shall be thrown out, and their stink shall come up out of their dead bodies, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, as the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down as a leaf falls off a vine, as the falling of the fig tree. Verse 5, for my sword is bathed in the heavens. Behold, it shall come down upon Edom, upon the people of my curse for judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats and the fat of kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozra and a great slaughter in the land of Eden. And the wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bullocks and with the bulls. And the land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust shall be grease with their fat. So that's going to be quite a thing when you think about that. Now notice, verse 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year to repay for the fighting against Zion. God's vengeance is coming. Now, Isaiah 63. Very interesting. Isaiah 63, and let's pick it up here beginning in verse 3. Isaiah 63. Now, notice how this ties in with Revelation 14 and 16. Verse 3. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was no man with me. For I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I stained all my clothing. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redemption has come. And I looked, and there was none to help, and I was astonished that no one to uphold. Therefore, My own right arm brought salvation for me, and my fury upheld me. And I will tread down the people in my anger, and I will make them drink in my fury, and I will pour out their life's blood down to the earth. That's a description of the seven last plagues. We'll read them. They're going to be something. All right, this is quite a thing. Let's come over here to Psalm 94. Now we're going to look at several psalms because it talks about the vengeance of the Lord. And remember what Paul wrote there in Romans, the 12th chapter. He said, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." Now let's come to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Verse 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, show yourself. Lift up yourself, which he will. This is exactly what he is doing. See, all of these things are going to take place while we're on the sea of glass. We'll be able to see this. We'll see all of this take place. Lift up yourself, judge of the earth. Render recompense to the proud. How long shall the wicked, O Lord, how long shall the wicked exult? They gush forth words, they speak arrogant things. All the wonders of iniquity vaunt themselves. All the workers, rather, of iniquity vaunt themselves. They crush your people, O Lord, and afflict your inheritance. So that's quite a thing, quite a vengeance. Now let's come to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Here again we have the same thing. Psalm 58. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Now what we will do, we will go back and see that in Revelation 16, as these seven last plagues are poured out, that they fulfill all these scriptures where we are reading of the vengeance of God. Now, let's pick it up here on Psalm 58, verse 10. Psalm 58, verse 10. The righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. There's going to be a lot of cheering on the sea of glass. Now, understand, we're cheering because of God's power. We're cheering because God is fulfilling his word. We're going to rejoice in all of this because the kingdom is going to be set up by Christ. And we are going to be a part in that. Now, for those who think that all this blood, guts, and gore is really terrible to take, and how can a God of love do this? Well, a God of love is a God of love so much that even in spite of all of this that they do, and what he does, they're going to be in the second resurrection. And think how astonishing that will be for them. Quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall bathe his footsteps in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, truly, there is a reward for the righteous. Truly, there is a God who is judging in the earth. Astonishing, huh? Yes, indeed. That's quite something. Okay, come down here to Psalm 59 in verse 5. Just drop straight down the column. Verse 5, Psalm 59. And you, therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. That's what this is all about. The trumpet plagues and the seven last plagues. Show no mercy to any wicked traitors. Come down here to verse 8. But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall hold all the nations in derision. Now verses 12 and 13. For the sin of their mouth and the word of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride And we're going to see the pride and arrogance that they have at the last is the greatest because of the prompting of Satan the devil, and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them so that they may be no more. Let them know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. Selah. Now that's quite a thing to really think about and understand and know what is taking place, all right? Yes, the vengeance of the Lord and the wrath of God. Now let's come back here to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. Let's see how this is going to take place and what a thing this is going to be. Revelation, chapter 16. Let's read the seven last plagues prophesied in the Old Testament and to come. Then when we read them, we will also see something concerning how the saints will participate in this vengeance when we come back to the earth, and that is prophesied. All right? Revelation 16, verse 1. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God onto the earth. And the first angel went and poured out his vial on the earth, and an evil and grievous sore fell upon the men who had the mark of the beast and upon those who were worshiping his image. And the second angel went and poured out his vial into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. So when we come back to restore the earth, it's going to be one giant disaster after disaster after disaster. That's going to give us a tremendous job to start doing when the millennium begins. Now the third angel poured out his vials upon the rivers and into the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Now, verse 5 becomes very important. Now think about this for a minute. The righteous angels have been with God forever. The righteous angels rejected the rebellion of Satan and the angels that followed him who became demons. They saw how God created man. They saw how Satan did to mankind all down through time. So this is viewed from God's point of view. Now I know for people who are very tender and don't like violence and blood, guts, and gore, this may be a little difficult. But this is looking at it from God's point of view. Verse 5, here's what the angel says because of just these first three plagues. Then I heard the angel of the waters say, you are righteous, O Lord, who are and who was, even the Holy One, who, in that you have executed this judgment, the judgment that was prophesied. For you have poured out the blood of the saints and of the prophets. Correction, verse 6. For they have poured out the blood of the saints and of the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another angel, another voice from the altar say, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Amazing, isn't it, when you look at it from God's point of view. And the fourth angel poured out his vial on the sun, and power was given it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Now they didn't repent. They blasphemed the name of God who had authority over these plagues and did not repent to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed with their tongues because of the pain. The plagues that came upon them, the darkness, showing that they're absolutely cut off from God. But Satan, who is the king of pride, gets them up for one last try. Now, this has got to be quite a thing, as we will see. And the sixth angel poured out his vial into the river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings of the rising of the sun might be prepared. They see this miraculous thing take place and say, yes, we've got to get over to the Holy Land so we can fight against these invaders from outer space. We have got to stop this. They're going to come and take over the earth. Yes, that's true. And we will be the invaders. All right? To prepare them for it. Now, it's got to be powerfully persuasive. And it is, verse 13. Then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan the devil, his chief spokesman there, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For these are spirits of demons working miracles, going forth to the kings of the earth, even of the whole world, to gather them together to the battle of that great day of the Almighty God. That's going to be persuasive. They're going to sacrifice all that they have. They're going to get all their weapons, everything they can do. All the nations are going to send some of their armies there to do it, because we will see that we also have a part in carrying out this vengeance, as I will show you a little later. Behold, I come as a thief. Now, this is a warning to us. Blessed is the one who is watching and keeping his garments. That ties right in with the Laodiceans, does it not? Yes, indeed. So that he may not walk naked, and that they might not see his shame. And he gathered them together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Let them all get there. Let them all be ready. They're all, everything is looking up to this great sea of glass. And they're going to bring their weapons, all of the most powerful that they have, so they can shoot at it to destroy the aliens that seek to invade the earth. And then, here's what happens. Verse 17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and a loud voice came out of heaven from the throne, saying, it is finished! And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as was not since men were on the earth, so mighty a quake and so great. And the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Notice the total destruction that this earth is going to experience. Does that not add a tremendous exclamation mark to the verse that says, the wages of sin is death? Yes, indeed. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island disappeared, and the mountains were not found. And great hail, each the weight of a talent, 180 pounds, fell down from heaven upon the men. Now, I suppose some in the tanks and things like that could survive some of this. But you see, that's going to happen right there below the sea of glass. But then when that happens, another wave of the army is going to come. And we will see what happens to them in just a minute. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, for the plague was exceeding great. Now then, let's come to chapter 19. And we see that here, the marriage of the Lamb has taken place. The supper has taken place. We are all ready to go. We have our assignments. We have our white horses. We know how to ride them. We know what we need to do. Okay? So let's pick it up here in verse 11. All right? Revelation 19 and verse 11. So now is the third phase of the return of Jesus Christ. Phase one, the sign of Son of Man as a second son. Phase two, the resurrection. Phase three, Christ and all the saints coming back to the earth. And then we will see that, yes, we will carry out some of the vengeance of God, because we are to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And if they resist, they will be broken as pottery into shivers of nothing. All right, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. This is Christ. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knows except him. And he was clothed in a garment dipped in blood. Didn't we read that in the book of Isaiah? Yes, indeed. And his name is the Word of God. So that goes back to John 1, 1 and 2. And the armies in heaven were following him. That's us, okay? On white horses. And they were clothed in fine linen, white and pure, and out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it he might smite the nations, and he shall shepherd them with an iron rod, and he treads the winepress of the fury and the wrath of the Almighty God. That's the vengeance of God. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together for the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of chief captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all, free and bond, small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him who sits on the horse and with his army. Now God has a special surprise for the beast and the false prophet. Yes, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet who worked the miracles in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. Now notice, and the rest were killed by the sword of him who sits on the horse, even the sword that goes out of his mouth, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now, let's look at another scripture here, because we come back to the earth. This is the final trumpets, okay? Now, there is a space of time between trumpets and atonement, correct? Yes, 9 days to be exact. And we know that atonement pictures putting Satan into the abyss. So what happens on those 9 days? Now, one church says, well, they're all up there on the sea of glass in heaven for those 9 days and come down on atonement. No, that's not correct. Let's come back here to Psalm 149 and let's read this amazing psalm and what it says. And it tells us what we are going to do. Psalm 149. We will help carry out the vengeance of God. We will help destroy the rest of those armies during the 9-day period from trumpets until atonement, when Satan and the demons are cast into the abyss. All right? Psalm 149. This is what we will do. This is really astounding. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And we sang that, didn't we? Yes. And his praise in the congregation of saints, all the resurrected saints on the sea of glass. Let Israel rejoice in his maker, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Again, Israel and the church. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the drum and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He crowns the meek with salvation. That's us, saved, spirit beings, clothed in righteousness, the linen pure and bright. Now, on our first mission, destroy any of the rest of the wicked, all who resist the kingdom of God. Now notice verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute judgment upon the nations and punishments upon the people. God gives us that authority to do it. Here's a prophecy of it. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with iron bands, and to carry out upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. O praise the Lord. And so we will be busy doing that. From trumpets to atonement. So this is quite a day. The Feast of Trumpets and the seven last plagues and the wars of all the trumpet plagues. Brethren, what an assignment we are going to start with when the millennium begins. So now we can't handle that right now, but as spirit beings, we will be able to do it. So this is why we need to make our calling and our election sure and believe the word of God. So we will see you on atonement.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.